Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first reading for this fourth Sunday of Easter, known as Good Shepherd Sunday, is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts. It's on page 1167, continues a series of readings from Pentecost. And we read Acts 2, beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, found on page 1303, and we read verses 19 through 25. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John on page 1147, and we read John 10, beginning at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out to find a pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, and in particular, these words from Jesus. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This is our text. You may not guess it to look at me today, but years ago when I was in high school, I regularly defied death itself. I was a high hurdler. Now, maybe you've heard of them, but most of you have not run them. Maybe some of you ran those stinking little low hurdles. That's nothing. You can step over them and not hurt yourself. But I ran the high hurdles. And I checked it out just last night because, you know, my frame has changed a little bit over the years. They come up to right here. Try stepping over that without hurting yourself. You take off from a down position, and oh, by the way, back in our day, we had tracks made of cinders. If you fell, it hurt. And those cinders stayed with you for weeks upon weeks as you dug them out of your skin. You took off at high speed, and you ran toward that first hurdle, and if you did survive getting over that first one, there was another one beyond it, and another one beyond it, and another one beyond it. 10 you had to clear. Many people did not survive. And just by way of example, how many of you were high hurdlers in high school? Raise your hand. Ken, I expect that of you. Who's the other one back there? Really? Carl, oh. Not many ever attempted it. And if you ever happen, maybe in the Olympics or something like that, to watch hurdlers run, what you'll notice is there are not many techniques. There is only one that enables you to survive the sport. They all run the same way. They all move their arms the same way. They all move their legs the same way. It comes from years of practice underneath a coach. Krieger, lift that first leg up higher. Bend more. Arms, right position. Krieger, trail leg. Again, and again and again, every day in practice. It was form, form, form. Your life literally depended upon having the perfect form. And if your coach didn't tell you your form was wrong, the hurdles did. What was remarkable after years of practice was what happened to me, and I remember it distinctly in one race, one of our larger events. There were all kinds of people in stands. And at the shot of the starting pistol, the crowds would come to life and be roaring, and everybody would be cheering and be quite loud. But I remember distinctly one race as I'm charging down the track with all those voices out there. One voice came through. It was my coach. Krieger, trail leg! Out of all those voices, I could pick that one out. Why? Because I heard it again and again and again, every single day, the same words, the same instructions. It never changed. And so even in the middle of a race, amidst hundreds of yelling voices, one came through it all. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Two interesting things in that passage. The first worthy of note is the fact that shepherds don't drive sheep. It doesn't work. Sheep, if you will, can't be driven. They just scatter when you try to push them from behind. You can only lead sheep along a way by them following. And to follow someone, they have to, first of all, know that person. Know that voice that calls to them. Not only know it, but trust it. You don't really get to know the voice of Jesus by a couple of attendances at a vacation Bible school or a few classes in Sunday school. Oh, you may become a little bit familiar with it. But to really know a voice, as it is within our daily life with other people, you have to hear that voice again and again and again and again and again. And you have to learn that to trust that voice. And we know that we can trust our good shepherd because as he goes before us, he faces our enemies. And we have a shepherd that has so much love for us. Not only does he call us by name and know each one of us individually, but as John chapter 10 will later tell us, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He goes before us right to death, even death on the cross. So that, such as in the words of Psalm 23, when it comes that time for us to follow him, even through the valleys of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. He's with us. We follow where he goes without fear because we know that he has conquered death for us. And that as long as he is by us, leading us, and as we continue to follow that voice, he will lead us to the Father's house where we will live forever. But you have to know what that voice is. And you learn what that voice is by constant repetition. By hearing it again and again and again, even if it's saying the same thing. And what we see going on in our culture is that when we start to drift from regular listening to the voice of Jesus, the world starts to come apart. Perhaps the best example is just look at what's happening in families around the world today. The anger, the hatred, the abuse, the lack of commitment, the depression. Half the children born today don't even know or won't grow up with their biological father in the home. And whatever cultural problem you want to discuss, when you really look at what's driving it, it's the destruction of the human family. And what has happened in our culture is that we have continually, for the last 100 years, continued to drift away from hearing that voice. It becomes an occasional thing, and then an almost never, maybe Christmas and Easter thing. We think that the Sunday school lessons that we learn as a child will suffice with all the problems and the troubles that we face as adults. And there are so many voices calling to us today. So many people trying to tell us what life should be like, even mocking us, even getting angry at us for holding to and cherishing things that the voice of God in Scripture tells us we should believe and live our lives by. And here's something that is important for us to remember. God is not going to drive us to heaven from behind. He is not the kind of shepherd. Ultimately, the enemy of the flock, who beats his flock into submission. Oh, he'll lay down his life for us. But from the very beginning, God did not create people to be his robots, enforcing obedience by any means. Now, the shepherd that we have leads. He goes before his flock. He calls us in love. He stands before us, in between us and our enemies. He lays down his life to save us. But he invites us to follow where that voice leads. God grant that by regular study of his word, by regular attendance at his services, we will always, always be able to recognize that voice when it calls to us. And never forget the love which is behind that voice. So that when we hear it rising above the crowds, because we know it so well, that we'll not only hear, but we'll follow. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.